The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that had been learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared suddenly in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, that's quite a story to start off our new year. This is one of those texts of terror that come up every once in a while in our lectionary readings. And fortunately for us this morning, we won't have to hear this again for 3 years. But it's something that we need wrestle with. The slaughter of innocents, as it is called, the rage of Herod, the threat to his throne, the violence he inflicts. Whether historical or not, is a very real reminder of how awful this world can be sometimes. And yes, it is a dark shadow to start our new year on. But if we take this story and lay it next to what's happening in our world right now, we'll find that these atrocities are not a foreign issue to us. They happen. The most vulnerable are still put in dangerous and violent situations, whether by choice or not, fleeing from their home, seeking refuge and asylum in some other country, or being afflicted by violence from some foreign oppressor. The story also frames a much older narrative, which I think Matthew is very intentional about layering into his story, the flight to Egypt, where another dark story took place, the slave enslavement of God's people for 480 years in Egypt, only to be liberated and set free. But it was such a traumatic moment that healing would take generations. And so still to this day, they celebrate Passover, marking their extraction, marking their liberation, which in and of itself was a violent act dealt by the God of the Old Testament. We can't look away. We can't look away from the violence and the injustices done in history and ignore the violences and injustices being perpetuated in our own times and would-be tyrants like Herod who send families on buses to cities they know nothing of in freezing temperatures ought not be celebrated or tolerated. And I come from a state where a certain governor has done just that. And in my opinion, he's no better than Herod, who perpetuated these violent acts. So what do we do, people of God? Is there a word of good news in our new year? Yes, and absolutely. The word of good news is that God sustains all. Through these historical acts of violence and through the ones that are perpetuated now, God is still present. And God is still calling us to respond in whatever way that seems most pertinent. How do we take care of the most vulnerable? How do we take care of those in our midst who are in of the greatest need? Children, young mothers, families, the houseless that have had a really rough week here in downtown. The call is to meet them where they are and to walk and accompany them. And we've got several ways of doing that here. At first, we partner with Room in the Inn. We partner with the food pantry. We partner with the mission. Our accompaniment helps sustain those who are on the margins. But maybe in the new year, it's time to reevaluate. Maybe as we move forward, as we continue to move further and further out of the heart of a pandemic that shut everything down, and reimagine a little bit about who we are and what we do. How do we maintain our presence here in downtown that is changing rapidly? You've only got to drive around to see the number of cranes on the streets to know that this city's landscape will look very different 6 months from now than it does today. So in a rapidly changing environment, our presence in a downtown church is unique. Lots of churches like ours have shut the doors, sold and moved out into some suburb. But decisions have been made over and over again in the past decade to stay. And before I got here, there was partnerships made with Project Thrive and taking an intentional look at who we are as a downtown church and the unique role that we fill, the unique role that we sustain. We've got to act differently. We've got to have a different outlook than some of our brothers and sisters in different parts of the greater Nashville metro area. So maybe 2023, as we lean into this new year, affords us an opportunity to do just that. Renewed energy, sustained energy that we've seen over the last several months. This place filling back up. Different folks coming in during the week, the different programs and institutions that we house in this building tell a very interesting story about our commitments to helping the most vulnerable. They tell a very interesting story, and I say we double down on those things moving forward. There are conversations in the works about purchasing a new van. That was a lovely gift from a member of the congregation that restores our ability to be more interactive with institutions like Room in the Inn. There are conversations about partnerships with Room in the Inn or the mission. When there's overflow, when they can't take everybody in that needs housing for a night, what does it look like for our church on a really cold night to have folks stay here, keep the doors open, keep the heat on? Keep some hot food on the stove, maybe a pot of coffee, and welcome folks in, embracing our location, embracing our accompaniment with those right here in our neighborhood, being part of God's liberating movements in our world. I'm simply posing the questions. I don't know what's going to come out of it. There are conversations that will happen in the months that unfold. But it does make me wonder, I think we're ready. I think the energy is back, that we've got rejuvenation, and that we can start to ask those critical questions as we move into the next chapter of what life here at First looks like. Because as far as I can tell, we're not going anywhere. We've been here for, I think Jeff told me, we'll celebrate our 75th anniversary coming up in a couple of years, a legacy we're celebrating. And as we move into that celebration, the questions come, who are we now? It's not the same congregation that was here when the doors first opened in the late 1950s. We've changed. The city's changed. The needs have changed. And I think we are perfectly suited to meet the challenges of our day. That's God's promise, that whatever the world might bring, whatever tyrants or rulers bring about violence, however the ebb and flow of things seem to go, God is steadfastly present with us, for us, always calling us forward, always shaping us to meet the challenges of tomorrow. God gifted us with creativity and intelligence for the sake of adapting, moving, shifting, helping to participate in resurrection, helping to participate in healing, wholeness, and new life right here and right now. So on days like today, when the gift of the lectionary is a hard story, we don't turn away. We don't try to dress it up and turn a blind eye, because that's not how things are. We are resurrected, and we are also realists, with a firm eye on what's happening in our world and a constant imagining of how to be present, how God shows up through us, for us, through us, and on behalf of others. So let your imaginations run wild a little bit as we move into 2023. I know today is a day of New Year's resolutions, right? Maybe go back to the gym. Maybe clean up the house. Maybe take on a class, go back to school. I don't know. The resolutions are an infinite possibility of renewal. But also today, as a congregation, as a church, as a body of Christ present right here at 113 8th Avenue South, Nashville, Tennessee, 37203, we have a chance to do some imagining and to think about the weeks and months ahead, and to think next year at this time, as we celebrate 2023, who were we? Who will we have been? Who will we have met? Who will we have welcomed? Where will God have taken us in the days, weeks, and months ahead? That's the power of new life. That's the power of resurrection. And it's a power to celebrate. Amen. And Happy New Year.